Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Preacher and the Miracle Man here on this Wednesday, November the 28th of 2018. And I am your host for this evening, the Miracle Man. And I want to say it is so glad to have all of you here listening to this program, wherever you may be, whatever device you may be using. My hope is that I can be a blessing to you somehow this evening on this program. That is my honest hope, because I love you. I care about you. I care about your soul more than anything. Because it's the last of the last of the last days right now. And it's important that you give your life to Christ if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's very important that you give your life to Jesus if you don't know him. Because we don't know when Jesus is going to come and blow the trumpet. We have no idea at all as to when the blowing of the trumpet will be. You can go ahead and throw this away. Sorry. But it's really important to God that you give your life to him. Because he's everything. Amen. And so man, this Coca-Cola is so delicious. The carbonation, the sweetness. Now, I've been thinking a little bit. Folks, I learned some sad news today. I learned that at least the McDonald's in this area will not be doing the eggnog shakes this year. To me, that is very sad news, because I've been getting eggnog shakes from McDonald's every single Christmas season since the time I was like 10 years old. Maybe 11. And they've always been there. They've always been awesome, and I don't know what the deal is, why they haven't been more popular. Are they not advertising them prominently enough to where people see that as a featured menu item? Because there's something to be said about eggnog shakes from McDonald's. There really is. And I guess in this market, at least at these two local restaurants, they have decided, told them that they won't be getting them. So I guess in this area, RIP eggnog. It's one of the things that McDonald's has done over the years that I've been most excited about, That and Monopoly both. But at least this year at this McDonald's area. IP eggnog, rest in peace. In other markets, there are some McDonald's which are offering something kind of cool. But they're in such select markets. Only a few McDonald's are doing this. And I'd love to see it changed. Some of the McDonald's are having Parmesan fries. What it is fries with garlic and Parmesan cheese on them. I don't know why McDonald's is not putting it in a lot more markets. I think it would be a boom, not a bust at all. And even McDonald's CEO even has said, and other people who work at McDonald's, you know, like high ups have said, we should really do something with our fries because they really are special. You know, I think they'd be really good with cheese, you know, for cheese fries. You know, the liquid cheese. I know some people call it liquidy and they think it's kind of dumb and that, but guess what? It's awesome. Don't you think that liquid cheese is awesome?
It's amazing.
I would like to see Velveeta cheese on fries, wouldn't you?
Yes, and bacon.
You're speaking my language. You are. On Rally's fries, that might be even better, honestly, because those fries are more they're more crunchy.
Yeah.
So what you would need would be a special fry that was more crunchy. Wouldn't that make sense? Because that way there would be no opportunity for it to get soggy.
Right.
Because these fries, you soak them and they can get kind of soggy. The other kind, they wouldn't be able to. And that would be a really great idea, if you ask me. And that goes to the idea of customization. Because in the QSR, or quick service restaurant, industry. By the way, that does not just include McDonald's, Burger King, Taco Bell, Subway, Sonic. Cookout, KFC, and many others. It also includes some places like Panera Bread, for example. And even like a lot of your delis, that to an extent. And people want to be able to customize. Even at the fast food / quick service, not just at a sit-down place. And Burger King has figured it out. That's why they have onion rings and not just fries. Other chains, Culver's, they got the cheese curds. By the way, I was at Cookout a month and a half ago. I don't know if I told you guys about this or not, but it was like my first time having cheese curds, and they were awesome. They were. And I think McDonald's, they could possibly do cheese curds. Maybe not nationally, but at least in, like, the Midwest and that, and, you know, just try to draw a bigger audience. You know, Steak and Shake does it. They have that garlic burger. That garlic burger that I dream about all the time. Could tell you. I dream about it. And so does Jennifer, but I'm the... On this show, And when I talk to her, usually I have a stage name for her, and it is Donut. So, folks, yeah, me and Donut both scream about that garlic burger a lot. And I need my mom to eat the I want my mom to eat the garlic burger. I mean, it's almost that I need, no, I want her to, because it is delicious. You know, she told me that one of her dreams, like at Christmas time or something, like before Christmas time or something, would be to just be sitting there listening to White Christmas or something like that, you know, the original version of White Christmas, just sitting there eating a garlic burger. Doesn't that sound just so heavenly? Just sitting there doing, doesn't that, Cassidy, doesn't that just sound so heavenly, something about it?
And they're relaxing and eating a garlic burger?
Yeah, well, you're listening to that White Christmas on repeat while you, doesn't it? The original version. It sounds like something out of a movie, doesn't it? It really does,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yep.
You can see why that would be like her dream, can't you?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Mine, too, to be honest, folks. It really would be just sitting there in a car or in Steak and Shake itself. Maybe, who knows, maybe with DoorDash or Uber Eats, only they could deliver it to that food court of that mall that one of them is right outside of. But, by the way, folks, Steak and Shake does have a lot of tasty options. They got a lot of great shakes, too. And you get to have your pick. They have a lot of different shakes for a decent price. It's like 30 different flavors, all of which are amazing. I've had a certain flavor before that was really good, but there's others I have yet to try. To be honest with you, folks, I don't know if I said this on the show before or not, but if I lived in an area with like a Steak and Shake in it, or a Sonic or some of those other places, I feel like I go to some of them more than I would a McDonald's. Because they have a lot more options. Some of these places do. So, after they update everything, I'd like to see McDonald's focus on customization next. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Because eventually they're gonna have to, aren't they? I hope they find this out sooner rather than later. So maybe if in a few years they see that their sales are going down, they'd look and say, like, could it be that maybe we don't have all these different drink options like these other places? Like, could it be that we don't have these certain types of the tater tots and all that other stuff like our competitors do? Like Sonic, like even Burger King has more. Many Burger Kings have the Coke Freestyle. And I can go in there and program it and get a vanilla Coke. There's no vanilla Coke at most McDonald's because they don't have the Coke Freestyle. I'd love them to get them, though. It'd be pretty cool. But, folks, I'm just gonna tell you the plan real quick, and then we're gonna get into the meat of the evening. Here's the plan. So I'm going to talk about, you know, how to be part of the show on that. Then we're going to pray. We're going to go to Judges chapter 9. We're going to continue looking at the children of Israel. Okay. After we do that, we're going to go to, quite a bit of basketball to get through tonight. I have Michigan. I have Sparty. And I have Pistons. And we're almost a quarter of the way through the season for the Pistons. So, I mean, game-wise, we are. So, I figured I'd go through with you guys a little bit of what's been going on. What's their record? And how are they doing when they have to play winning opponents? Things like that. So we have that tonight, the basketball. And then we also have football central. Since high school is done, it's going to be three college football games I'm going to pick tonight. All of them are the three of the big, important championships. Big 10, Big 12, SEC. And then we have some NFL games I'm going to pick. The Cowboys game, which is tomorrow night. Lions game for Sunday. And Patriots-Vikings for later on Sunday. So, excuse me. That's, for the most part, what we're going to be doing tonight. And, of course, the Bible first. Meantime, let me tell you guys a couple things. One, Miracle Man will be singing at Living Word on Sunday morning. Church service starts at 10. I don't know when exactly Dr. Barclay will have me come up and sing, whether it'll be after the offering, maybe, or after he's done preaching, which would be close to like 12. But look out for that, because I'm going to be singing. And I'm going to be singing O Come All You Faithful, which is one of the Christmas carols that I sang last night, by the way. Speaking of Christmas, there will be a Christmas song tonight. Trying to think of a real short one. That's just because of we got a ton of stuff to do tonight. I'm going to do that, I think, in the next few minutes. Either that or at the end. We'll see what happens with time. If I don't do one tomorrow, there will be one Monday guaranteed. But, item two is we've got a leadership conference at Living Word next week, Wednesday night through Friday night. So it's Wednesday December 5th, 7 o'clock service. Thursday morning, there's one at 10:30 and then at 7 at night. And then Friday morning, same thing as Thursday. It's basically talking about looking at leadership in the church, leadership in the house of God. As it is, very important. In addition, lastly, I want to encourage you to please tell other listeners about this show. Tell them about the website. Go to blogtalkradio.com. In the search box, type in Upfront Entertainment. After you type that in, click on the link that says Living Large. After that, click on the little bubble that says Miracle Man. Once you do that, go on ahead and go to the little button, that follow button. Hit that follow button, because then you're going to get notified when we get ready to do our shows. There's another way we can be a part. You can call into the show. And we can talk about it, pretty much anything you want to talk about. That number is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that is 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts, please, and then press 1. We have a prompt that says to call into the live show, press 1. Go ahead and press 1, and then my assistant Cassidy will let me know that we got a caller, and I'm going to let you on. I mean, I'll say okay, and then she'll let me know we got a caller, and then I'll say, what say you? And that'll be your cue to talk. That's how we do it here. All right. It is 6:54, so I am going to sing an awesome Christmas song. Here we go. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna smile to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase, kids, from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you. There we go, folks. And if this is your last time listening before December 25th gets you, Merry Christmas. Hopefully we all enjoy the season. And speaking of Christmas time, folks listening to the show, let me just fill you in on something. We're going to talk more about this later on as we get deeper in. By the way, can you close this?
Yeah.
Continue on in the season. I'll get to this a little bit more, but it's called Christmas. Now I know some folks, you know, they celebrate Hanukkah. Others do not celebrate Christmas at all. Others celebrate Kwanzaa. And different things like that. But Christmas, folks, I want you folks listening to this program, think Christmas, Christmas, Christ. It's about the birth of Christ. When you say the holiday tree or other things, I get it, like if you say holiday, just refer to any holiday or something, or maybe, you know. But don't say that as a means to not offend anybody. So say, as someone who loves Jesus with all their heart, here's what would offend me. When you say holiday or something else instead of Christmas with the means of not offending anybody at all. And I'm glad we've came a long ways. Even your president has said we're getting back to saying Merry Christmas. And I'm grateful for that. So let's just take that to heart. Okay? We're going to pray real quick, and then we're going to open up the Bible. But folks, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great program tonight. I thank you for these listeners who have chosen to be a part of this program. Wherever they are, whatever device they're using, I thank you that they have come with hearts ready to receive of your word and ears that are ready to hear your word through you. I mean, I'm the one delivering it, but it'll be as if you're speaking to them. That's my prayer. Tonight, Lord God. And I pray that they will receive it as such as I open my Bible. And Lord, I thank you that these people will never be the same after this word tonight. They'll never be the same. Never, never, never. Never, never, never. And Lord, I thank you that you use me as an oracle, I give you permission to just flow. Interrupt me. Interrupt my plans tonight, if you would. God, I give you permission to. Because I'll put you in charge of this and not me. And ultimately, Lord, this show is about you. And if for some reason we get to the next thing late, Lord, I just want you to be involved and in charge. And for you to have your way. I thank you that you use me tonight. And I confess over the show right now, I boldly confess that new equipment is coming to this program. Sponsors and partners who want to help me do this work for you, God, are coming onto this program. Finances are coming onto this program. And more listeners are coming. In Jesus' name. And most importantly, Lord, my prayer is that souls come to this program. People who don't know you as their Lord and Savior, they're going to give their heart to you, give their life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Let's go to Judges chapter 9. Praise God. Judges 9. And I want to encourage you. This is not just a show to just sit there and be a dee 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 dee. To just sit there and kind of, you know, in your mind just be like dee 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 dee. No. I want you to dig in the Word. I want you to be a part of this program. Especially as now that we're getting into the Word of God for the next little bit. You know, when I'm doing monologue, you know, and letting you know, you guys know what's going on with me and that. And what have you, or singing Christmas carols. That's fun. But we care about your soul. I care about your soul here, as that's real important. So, main idea is we want you to be engaged, as that's how you get more out of the Word of God, is when you're engaged. Okay? So, when I pray, you pray. If I sing again, you go ahead and sing if you know the lyrics. As I'm studying the Bible, you go ahead and study it with me. Which will begin in like 5 seconds. In like 10 seconds. All right. Chapter 9. Let's go. I'll begin reading. You catch up. Now Abimelech, son of Jubal, went to his mother's brothers in Shechem and said to them and to all his mother's clan, ask all of the citizens of Shechem, which is better for you, to have all 70 of Jerubbaal's sons rule over you, or to have just one man. Remember, I am your flesh and blood. When the brothers repeated all this to the citizens of Shechem, they were inclined to follow Abimelech, and they said, he is our brother. They gave him 70 shekels of silver from the temple of Baal, or us, and Abimelech used it to hire reckless adventurers who became his followers. He went to his father's home in Ophrah, and on one stone murdered his 70 brothers, the sons of Jerubbaal. But Jotham, the youngest son, and Jerubbaal escaped to hiding. Then all of the citizens of Shechem and Beth Millo gathered beside the great tree at the pillar in Shechem to crown Abimelech king. When Jotham was told about this, he climbed up on the top of Mount Gerizim and shouted to them, "Listen to me, citizens of Shechem, so that God may listen to you. One day the trees went out to anoint a king for themselves. They said to the olive tree, 'Be our king.' But the olive tree answered, 'Should I give up my oil, which both gods and men are honored? Hold sway over the trees.' Next, the trees said to the fig tree, 'Come and be our king.' But the fig tree replied, 'Should I give up my so good and sweet to hold sway over the trees?' Then the trees said to the vine, 'Come and be our king.' But the vine answered, 'Should I give up my wine, which cheers both gods and men, to hold sway over his trees?' Finally, all the trees said to the thorn bush, 'Come and be our king.' Thorn bush said to the tree, 'If you really want to anoint me king over you, come and take refuge in my shade. But if not, then let fire come out of the thorn bush and consume the cedars of Lebanon. Now, if you have acted honorably and in good faith when you made Abimelech king, and if you have been fair to Jerubbaal and his family, and if you have treated him as he deserves, and to think that my father fought for you, risked his life to rescue you from the hand of Midian, but today you have revolted against my father's family. You've murdered his 70 sons on a single stone and made Abimelech, the son of his slave girl, king over the citizens of Shechem because he is your brother. If then you have acted honorably and in good faith toward Jerubbaal and his family today, may Abimelech be your God, be your joy, and may you be his too. If you have not, then let fire come out from Abimelech and consume you, citizens of Shechem and Beth Millo, and let fire come out from you, citizens of Shechem and Beth Millo, and consume Abimelech. Then Jotham fled, escaping to Baia, and he lived there because he was afraid of his brother Abimelech. After Abimelech had governed Israel for 3 years, God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the citizens of Shechem, who acted treacherously against Abimelech. God did this in order that the crime against Jerubbaal's 70 sons, the shedding of their blood, might be avenged on their brother Abimelech and on the citizens of Shechem, who had helped him murder his brothers. In opposition to him, the citizens of Shechem sent men on the hilltops to ambush everyone who passed by. And this was reported to Abimelech. Now, Gaal, son of Ebed, moved with his brothers into Shechem, and his citizens put their confidence in him. After they had gone out into the fields and gathered the grapes and had trodden them, they held a festival in the temple of their god. While they were eating and were drinking, they cursed Abimelech. Then Gaal, son of Ebed, said, "Who is Abimelech, and who is Shechem, that he should be subject to him? Isn't he Jerubbaal's son? And isn't Zebul his deputy? Serve the men of Hamor, Shechem's father. Why should we serve Abimelech? If only this people were under my command, then I would get rid of him. I would say to Abimelech, 'Call out your whole army.' When Zebul, the governor of the city, heard what Gaal, son of Ebed, said, he was angry. Under cover, he sent messengers to Abimelech, saying, 'Gaal, son of Ebed, and his brothers have come to Shechem and are stirring up the city against you. Now then, during the night, you and your men should come and lie in wait in the fields. In the morning, at sunrise, advance against amongst the city. When Gaal and his men come out against you, do whatever your hand finds to do.' So Abimelech and all his troops set out by night and took up concealed portions near Shechem in four companies. Now Gaal, son of Obed, had gone out and was standing at the entrance to the city gate just as Abimelech and his soldiers came out from their hiding place. When Gaal saw them, he said, 'Zebul, look, people are coming down from the tops of the mountains.' Zebul replied, 'You mistake the shadows of the mountains for men.' But Gaal spoke up again, 'Look, people are coming down from the center of the land, and the company is coming from the direction of the Tupper Sayers tree. Then Zebul said to them, "Where is your big talk now? And who said, who is Abimelech, that we should be subject to him? Aren't these the men you ridiculed? Go out and fight them." So Gaal led out the citizens of Shechem and fought Abimelech. Abimelech chased him, and many fell wounded in the flight. All the way to the entrance to the gate, Abimelech stayed in Armah, and Zebul drove Gaal and his brothers out of Shechem. The next day, the people of Shechem went out to the fields, and as was reported to Abimelech, so he took the men, divided them into three companies, and set an ambush in the fields. When he saw the people coming out of the city, he rose to attack them. Abimelech and the companies with him pushed forward to a position on the entrance to the city gate. Then two companies pushed them upon in the fields and struck them down. All of that day, Abimelech pressed his attack against the city until he had captured it and had killed its people. Then he destroyed the city and scattered salt over it. On hearing this, the citizens in the tower and Shechem went into the stronghold of the temple with Lord Baal. When Abimelech heard that they had assembled there, he and all his men went up Mount Zelu, and he took an axe and cut off some branches, which he lifted to his shoulders. He ordered the men with him, "Quick, do what you have seen me do." All the men cut branches and followed Abimelech. They piled them against the stronghold and set it on fire over the people inside. So all the people in the tower of Shechem, about 1,000 men and women, also died. Next, Abimelech went into Abiel and beside it, and he captured it. Inside the city, however, was a strong tower where all of the men and women, all the people of the city, fled. They locked themselves in and climbed up on the tower roof. Abimelech went to the tower and stormed it. But as he approached the entrance to the tower to set it on fire, a woman dropped an upper millstone on his head and cracked his skull. Hurriedly, he called to his armor bearer, "Draw your sword and kill me, so that they can't say a woman killed him." So his servant ran him through, and he died. When the Israelites saw that Abimelech was dead, they went home. Thus God repaid the wickedness that Abimelech had done to his father by murdering his 70 brothers. God also made the men of Shechem pay for all of their wickedness. And the curse of Dothan, son of Jerubbaal, came on them. All right. All I got to say is those were wicked, wicked, wicked people. Very much so. Abimelech and what he did, 70 brothers, 70 of them. And all this other stuff. And you got to think, that tower, that Abimelech was this close to setting on fire. And then that woman dropped a millstone. It lands on his head, saying, basically it was like, you can't burn this. You can't set this on fire, because this is a strong tower, and we're all in here. What you gonna do, Bob? So, Lord, I thank you for this word, and I thank you that it will get on the inside of us, and that we will all always make sure to do what your will is, and not be disobedient to you, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, for sports, as I said before, we have a host of stuff to get to tonight, including a lot of basketball, starting with Michigan State from last night. Last night, unranked Louisville upset number 9 ranked Michigan State by the score of 82-80 in overtime. And let's face it, at one point Michigan was down 12. And then for like a few seconds in the fourth, Michigan State led. But all to naught. As Michigan State ended up falling 82-80 in overtime. Mind you, it was in Louisville. I don't know why Michigan teams tend to struggle so much down south. Why do you think that is? You don't know? But it is kind of crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
So as to why that happens, folks, I don't know. But now they'll probably be ranked outside the top 10, but still in the top 25. Their next game is Friday, where they will go to Rutgers, I believe. And then they'll come home after that. Let's go to Michigan. Michigan, ranked number 8. They host North Carolina tonight. North Carolina has been doing a pretty good job. It's part of the Big Ten ACC Challenge, I believe. And it's in Ann Arbor. And I think North Carolina will beat Michigan by like 2 points again. That's what I'm thinking. Because they're loaded again, a lot of great talent. Pistons now. The Detroit Pistons got a decent win last night, 115-106 against the New York Knicks. At home, mind you. And at one point in the first quarter, the Knicks were up by quite a bit, but the Pistons responded in a big way. At one point in the fourth quarter, they were up by as many as 20. Pistons were. Big picture. Big picture. Where are the Pistons right now? By the way, your leading scorer for the Pistons was Blake. He was the leading scorer for the Pistons. Drummond had 21 points. But so where are they right now? Pistons are 11-7. So a couple games over 500. Which is nice. However, 9 of the 11 wins came against teams that are below 500 right now. And that's kind of a little bit of a rough spot. So they'll need to do some work on this. Start winning, beating some of those better teams. Because that's what it's going to come down to as you go further down the stretch through the season, and you start, you know, hoping for playoffs. As I'm hungry for a Detroit professional team to make the playoffs, because it's been a while. So I'm hungry for that to happen. I'm hungry. Because it's been a while. It really has. Next up for the Pistons is Friday, where the Pistons are at home. We'll be at home to take on the Chicago Bulls. Now, going for football. We're going to start with college football. But first of all, I want to welcome everybody here to Football Central. Week number 14 of Football Central. And I want to remind you that every time we do a Football Central, it is brought to you by Dairy Queen. Every time. Every episode. Every episode of it that we do, it's brought to you by Football Central. I mean, it's brought to you by Dairy Queen. And all of the delicious blizzards that you can choose from to drink, to make it eat. And they are awesome. So, what are we going to be talking about tonight here on Football Central? Well, it's championship weekend in the world of college football. So I am going to talk about briefly and predict each of those three games. I mean, three of them. There's a couple others that don't quite matter as much, so I'm leaving those alone. NFL. We have the Lions game, of course, plus a couple others that can have good playoff implications. So, that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Let's begin with college football. First off, that's right, the Ohio State Buckeyes. The best doggone football team in the land. You know, still not happy about that Michigan game, but still. Ohio State says that about their band, so I figured I would say that about their football team. Right now, the Buckeyes are number 6. Oklahoma is number 5. Georgia is number 4 in the AP playoff poll. And before I get into talking about this game, I figured I'd talk about this playoff for Ohio State. What needs to happen for Ohio State to get in? Well, here is what we know right now about the college football playoff. Alabama is basically in no matter what happens, whether they beat Georgia or whether they lose to Georgia. Okay. Notre Dame, in. Number 3. Clemson, in. Looks like Clemson's going to get in no matter what. Georgia, that's where we start to look and see. Well, if Alabama wipes out Georgia, they might not be in there. Now let's look at the other side. So we know, for the most part, 3 teams are in there. Number 4. Well, this Texas and Oklahoma thing, it depends on what happens. If somehow Texas beats Oklahoma, I'm going to pick these games. If Texas beats Oklahoma, will they? You'll have to listen for my prediction to find out what I have predicted. If Texas beats Oklahoma, since Oklahoma already lost to Texas, if they lose to them again, and Georgia loses big to Alabama, we'll just say right now as if both of those happened, then it would probably be Ohio State that would get in there at number 4. And they would have to play probably Bama. Or maybe Notre Dame. But here's how it's going to work. If Georgia beats Alabama, Alabama's still probably going to be in there. Then you can say goodbye to Oklahoma or Ohio State being in there. Because then you would have you would have Georgia or Bama, Notre Dame, Clemson, and then the other SEC team. So there's several different scenarios to think about for college football playoff. Now, let's get to the games. Number 6, Ohio State, taking on number 21, Northwestern, in Indianapolis on Sunday night. By the way, you will be able to listen to this game for free with the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. You'll be able to choose from the Ohio State Sports Network or Northwestern. I myself will be choosing the Ohio State Sports Network to listen to it on. I believe it's an 8 p.m. tip. Maybe 8:30, but regardless, I will be listening to this game. Haskins is doing a great job for them as a quarterback, that sophomore. He'll be good for at least next year because he'll be a junior. And then I believe they have a good amount of seniors and a good amount of juniors and some sophomores, so they got a good amount of good leadership there. Northwestern, though, they have not gone unnoticed. They have had a good year this year. They really have. One of their biggest blemishes was to Michigan. What do I feel right now for the prediction? Low, high, low. 34. Northwest Territory, 26. So once again, that's the Bucks winning 34-26. All right, let's go to the SEC championship game. One, Alabama. Four, Georgia. So right now, in this case, it would almost be like if the playoff were actually on Saturday. But it's not. That's not until like New Year's Eve. But it'd be as if, because number one has to play number four. Because Bama is one, Georgia is four. They took over Michigan's spot because Michigan got beat by that state down south. But one versus four in Atlanta. I don't think, now listen, folks. I don't think that this game being in Atlanta is necessarily going to shift it in Georgia's favor at all. Now, it won't be a lost cause for Georgia either. I expect a good game from both of these. You basically, what you have here is a rematch of the college football championship from January, which Alabama won that. That's what you have here. And how do I feel? Alabama has been dominant. Georgia's been playing much more like a top four team ever since that big loss to Louisiana. I think somehow they figured out. I feel like they figured out, you know, we really got to start working a little harder after that loss to LSU. So they've been working at stuff. They've been getting better. However, you got Alabama, who's been totally blowing everyone out. I'm not saying that the Alabama, this game is going to be a blowout. In fact, I think Georgia is going to play up to that Alabama level. I think it's going to come down to who makes less turnovers, less mistakes. In this case, here's how I feel. The team who makes the less mistakes, the less fumbles, gets the least penalties. If you can do all of that, if Georgia can do all of that, they win this ball game. But not unless. So if Georgia wants to win, the pressure is a little more on Georgia, I think, than it is on Alabama. With this in mind, watch out for the Tide. 37, Ray Charles, 31. I think you know what I'm hinting at when I said Ray Charles, right?
Yeah.
Georgia. You figured that out, didn't you? Yep, so once again, that is Tide 37, Bulldogs 31. Now, let's go to Dallas. Big 12 championship game on Saturday as well. Keep in mind, all of this, these you will be able to listen to on TuneIn Radio and watch on the various TV networks based on whoever has the network rights. I know more about the radio, though, because radio is what I'm in. And, but, anyhow, what's going on here? Well, you have Oklahoma. The only loss they have is to Texas. However, folks, Oklahoma has allowed 40 games, 40 points plus per game in each of the last three games, including the over 50 that they gave up on Saturday to West Virginia and still beat them. So I don't know how you give up 50 points and still win a ball game. Obviously, yeah, you score more, but in football, that's hard to do. That's hard. But Oklahoma did it. But from what I understand, Texas has a little bit better defense than Oklahoma does. But Oklahoma has a better offense. And sometimes there's a school of thought in football that says sometimes the best offense is a good defense. So, can Oklahoma's defense stop Texas? Can Texas's defense stop Oklahoma? There's several things, you know, you got to look at. Texas has three losses. Oklahoma has one. Based on that, that means Oklahoma should win, right? No, not exactly. Especially when you've got when you've had Texas getting better as of late. Texas only has one bad loss. And one of those other two losses was only by a point. And so when you look, when I look, what I see is, think here. What did I say on my notes that Texas that I was gonna call them? Oh, so Big Tex, 35. Home soon, 26. Folks, if you don't know what Big Tex is, there's places in Texas called Big Tex. There's a big statue thing at the State Fair of Texas called Big Tex. It is, I guess it's some kind of endearment thing or whatever in the state of Texas. I went to Texas once back in 2012, enjoyed every second of it. I would say that's either my first or second favorite state in this country is Texas. Notice that's not talking about a city, that's talking about a state. Because Chattanooga, of course, is in Tennessee. Atlanta's in Georgia. My other two favorite cities, though, are both in Texas. Dallas, Houston. But I do think the Longhorns are going to win this football game. So, if that happens, do I think Ohio State will get in? I would say possibly. Because I don't think they're going to put Georgia in with a second loss. I don't. They're not going to put Oklahoma in if they lose to Texas either. They're not. Maybe Florida State might upend them. But if Georgia and Oklahoma both lose, which I have figured that they will, then you will likely have Ohio State in there as the fourth seed, but they would have to play number one Alabama right off the get-go. They were there a few years ago, and Ohio State beat Alabama. Will it happen again? We'll have to wait and see. Now, we've got three more games to get to in about 12 more minutes. Let's shift the gears and go to the NFL. Saints at the Cowboys. Well, you got the Cowboys playing well as of late. They didn't start out so well, but now they're doing well. 6-5 atop the NFC East. Okay, it's really the NFC East, but you got a 6-5, a 5-6, another 5-6, and a 2-9 in that division. So no one really commanding on top with like a broad separation. By the way, if the Saints if the Saints go into Dallas and beat the Cowboys, then you have the Cowboys back at 500. Now, does that mean they won't make the playoffs? It doesn't mean that at all. Not at all. In fact, because of health issues that the with the Redskins not having their quarterback anymore, with that really terrible injury, that really makes things more right for the Cowboys. But tomorrow, when I look at the Saints, I look and I go, wow. It's going to be a good, close game. I will absolutely be watching on my Yahoo Sports app after I get out of church. And here is what I am feeling. It is Raging Cajun. 29. How about them Cowboys? 26. Once again, that is Raging Cajuns, 29. How about them Cowboys? 26 in overtime. Let's go to Sunday's Lions Rams games. And here, folks, this is how it is. Here's how it is, folks. Lions, they're going to have to win out if they want to go in the playoffs. They're not going to have a choice. So they've got to win if they even want a chance at the playoffs. They have to. But the Rams are coming in. The Rams are firing on all cylinders. They only have one loss. So, what do I think? My Ram truck, 33. Lying down, 27. Once again, it's 33-27 Rams over the Lions. All right, game three. By the way, let me remind you that that first game is tomorrow night. The Saints at the Cowboys. So, Sunday afternoon, 4:25. This is the Patriots versus the Vikings. Brady and the Patriots have been doing awesome ever since they came to Detroit and we beat them down. By the way, that is totally our biggest highlight of this year, unfortunately. I mean, I was glad we beat the Patriots, but I was hoping that would have been a start of something awesome, a turning point, that we could continue on a better road for years to come. And years from now, people could be saying, when did the Lions get so good? And we could say, well, it started with this Patriots win. Lions beating the Patriots. Unfortunately, since then, they've kind of fallen back a bit. And so, now, especially when you look at the fact that they lost to two of the worst teams in the league, getting blown out by the Jets, and by the way, also losing to the Niners when you had opportunities to beat them and you lost anyway. So, the Lions have to establish a running game. They have to, otherwise they're not going to beat the Rams tomorrow. And on Sunday. It's as simple as that. But Vikings have been up and down. Patriots have been really solid, only losing one game since that embarrassing loss where Detroit beat them. So, with this in mind, this pick is red, white, and blue, 33. The Vikings, 26. By the way, I came up with the Vikings because I've seen some people call that on Twitter. So, with that, I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no plague shall come nigh us, no evil shall befall us. We're going to live in great peace and great joy and great prosperity and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. And I sure love you. And until Monday, God first, God always. So long, everybody.